Right now, we've got Susan Brown here in the studio from the Chapel Hill Public Library with another round of Talking Books. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Unfortunately, it's been a rough week.
It has been a rough week.
Yeah.
On all corners, it's gorgeous weather, but it's been a rough week. And not only for what's happening in the national news, but everybody and their brother seems to have the crud that's been going around.
Yeah.
Do you guys have people sick here?
Yeah, we have. Not in the last few days, but what was it, a week or two ago?
I think
2 weeks ago, we had just a whole bunch of people come down sick. And this was right before I was going on vacation. So I was just walking around with my hand over my face the entire time.
Yeah. So
made it, but yeah, everyone got the crud.
I'm finally over it, or so I think.
Yeah.
But boy, it is going around. So
yeah.
It is rough stuff in the news. People are feeling rough.
Mm-hmm.
What should you do when that happens?
Curl up with a good book?
I was going to say binge watch Netflix.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's fine too.
Yeah.
But if you're doing
Make your choice wisely on Netflix, because they've got some dark stuff on that thing there. So.
They really do. Yes. So
yeah.
If Netflix is too dark for you, and you're also doing a show called Talking Books,
yes,
you could talk about comforting books to read during times of trouble.
That's a good idea.
Whether you're troubled by sickness or you are troubled by everything terrible happening around the world.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about today.
All right, sounds good.
Yes.
So, cool.
So, I'll start with a couple general things.
Okay.
I mean, I'll start by talking about me. How's that?
Yeah,
that's comforting to everyone, right?
Yes. No, being on the show is comforting. I know there are a lot of people out there who tune in to this show solely
take comfort.
I think last week, the last time that you weren't able to make it on, I got a text from my mom actually at 4 o'clock saying, "We're listening. I hope Susan Brown's on." I'm like, she's not going to be able to make it on today.
So they turned it off.
Actually,
they didn't want to listen to you.
They may very well have. I don't know. But a lot of people listen for your soothing dulcet
mellifluous
tones.
Mellifluous dulcet tones.
Yes.
Hi, Mama Keck. I hope you're listening. So let's start by talking about me and what do I read in times of turmoil.
Okay.
So my personal favorites, I always turn to the classics. I just reread Jane Austen every time, right? Every time I'm sick, I'm feeling bad, I want to escape everything. I used to escape into thrillers, crime books, right?
Escapist books.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I get a little older and I have kids and I can't read that stuff like I used to.
Yeah.
I just engage with it differently and I don't feel like it's an escape. I feel like it makes me more anxious, right?
I'm living it every day.
Right. Yeah. So now that I'm basically an old lady,
yes.
I get my Afghan and I turn the thermostat up and I reread Jane Austen. But I tend to turn to the classics generally.
Okay.
And so I think most of the books that I'm going to talk about are true classics or modern classics. But I also want to say that there are quite a few, quite a number of the words today. There are many
the best
resources out there that come out of the library world, that come from schools, especially for kids. So the books that I'm going to talk about are books for grown-ups.
Okay.
But there's a whole genre. If you ever need help with a child talking about, bereavement, death, or a loss, or what's happening in the world, I encourage you to look around on the internet. There's lots of great resources from the library world, but also come and talk to your local library staff. They have lots of great ways to help kids understand tough things in the world and their personal lives through books and reading. And it's a wonderful thing to do as a family together.
I do appreciate, just sort of in the children's book world, that there are a lot of really, really good, smart people who are just sort of tuned into the world of kids and what they go through on a regular basis. Great authors, writers, illustrators who are constantly thinking, okay, what's the niche that needs to be filled? What is the thing that kids often go through that they don't have a book to help them get through it or to help them understand it and then find that and fill it? I think there are a lot of really good people who are out there working on that.
Yes, they do that. And I think they're the best ones remember or are able to experience the world through the eyes of a kid, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
There's a difference
in
an adult talking about how you should feel when grandpa dies versus an adult being able to be empathetic and imagine how a child feels when grandpa dies and be able to storytell and engage them with that. So there are wonderful books for kids and also resources to help you get to those books.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important too, because you might find yourself looking at the children's book section and think, oh man, all of these books are so specifically tailored to this specific situation or that specific situation. Where is the universal experience? But there is no universal experience. It's just everyone interpreting or living their own particular lives in different ways. And so the fact that there are books out there to help people deal with any situation that might arise, I think is really cool.
Yeah. And I hope my older one is not listening, because he'd be mortified. You know, we're also getting to the point in our family when we might need the books with the puberty talks. We do the talks, but I remember, I think it was like in fifth grade, a girl in my class named Sarah Bradley brought... Her parents had given her the awkward puberty book, and she brought it to school.
Was the title of it the awkward puberty book? Can someone write that? Can we sit down and write the awkward puberty book and just publish that? That's the next niche.
But I remember that like it was yesterday, like sitting on the bus and reading that book like, but thinking back on it, it's a really comforting thing. If parents, which I think the world is different now, but if parents or kids or people aren't comfortable trying to figure out how to get started with that, a book is a great way to start, finish, be in the middle of the conversation.
Yeah, this weird thing is happening. Am I the only one? No, you're not. It's happened to other people, and here's someone who has experienced it and written about it.
And of course, now you can just search the internet and get all the facts.
Oh, yeah,
of course. I mean, there's nothing false out there.
And quite a bit of non-facts
right.
as well. All right, so speaking of the internet, Susan suggested comforting books for difficult times as the topic. So I got online and I just did a Google search for heartwarming books.
Mm.
And BuzzFeed, as BuzzFeed is so often wont to do, has provided a list of the 31 most heartwarming books you'll ever read. And at the very bottom of the list, coming in at number 31, is a book that, or actually a series of books that actually popped into my head first. For troubling times, difficult times, dark times, when bad people are seem triumphant and bad things are happening so often, a series of books that can show the way.
Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah, no, you haven't read these books.
Oh, not Harry Potter. Come on.
Coming in at number 31.
I had to do that. Okay.
But it seriously was the first one that I thought of, because it's all about sort of the triumph of just these little acts of good in the face of what seems like overwhelming, unspeakable evil.
And
if you give your kids book number 4, you've got your
puberty thing is
taken care of. Yeah. 4 and 5, I think, but 4 is better.
So I will say that that's a thing, though. For comfort, many people go and reread a book that they've read a gazillion
about,
and four times.
I was thinking about Fun Home, too, that I've read probably 1,001 times. But yeah, go back to what's familiar. I think that's important.
So a book that I've read 1,001 times that I find very comforting. So I generally turn to things like Jane Austen and classics, and this is a more modern classic. So the first book that I want to recommend, and I think all of my books skew very female, very British. I'm just going to own that up front. I find that comforting.
Yeah.
So the first book that I want to recommend as a comforting read is called I Capture the Castle. It's by Dodie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
She is most famous for writing 101 Dalmatians, the book that, of course, the movies were based on. But this was her first novel, and it is set in a crumbling castle in England with this wonderful sort of ragtag family, and the main character and the narrator is a young girl. Her name is Cassandra Motmain. And so she's this, like, I think she's like 13 or 14 when the book starts out, but it's just this wonderful look at this sort of eccentric family in this castle. There's love, there's romance, there's a little bit of intrigue. It was made into a terrible, terrible movie. But if you want just a sort of gentle, lovely, not heavy on the romance, not heavy on anything, it's just wonderful. It is charming. I recommend I Capture the Castle by Dodie Smith.
All right. I'm sticking with the BuzzFeed list, and I move up all the way to number three on this 31 most heartwarming books you'll ever read. I haven't read this one, but I've got to recommend it anyway, because I believe this is the one that the Friends of the Library literally just did for their book Sandwiched In. A man called Ove. Is that how it's pronounced?
Ove
is how it's spelled.
I haven't read it either, but boy, it's popular.
Yeah, by Frederick Bachman. But Bachman? You know what? I don't even know. But it's A Man Called Ove or Ovi or Ove or Ova. I don't know. By Frederick Bachman. And it's about this like grumpy old man whose heart melts after a series of circumstances. It's the third most heartwarming. Susan is laughing at me so hard right now.
I'm trying not to laugh out loud. What was it? A heartwarming story of a grumpy old man
whose heart melts.
Whose heart melts.
Yes.
Due to some circumstances. That was awesome. Okay.
Right?
I will raise you, your grumpy old man, and I will see you a passel of sort of grumpy old women. So
okay.
The next book that I want to recommend, again, It's very British and very early 20th century, is a book called Enchanted April, also turned into a movie, and that movie is wonderful.
Okay.
So if you want a comforting film, it's a great film. So this is the story of four women in 1920s England who leave Grainy Ray, England, and they go on holiday together in Italy. And it's all about the four different women, their different personalities, what their challenges are, who they meet, what happens, how they're changed through circumstances.
Yes. Specific circumstances. Oh, the circumstances.
In the end, they find hope and joy and love, and it's just wonderful. So
nice.
If like me, you are a sucker for British early 20th century, relatively short novels, both of these, with great female characters, Enchanted April is a wonderful comfort. Get your Afghan and a cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Can we go local now, since you mentioned like great books that were turned into great movies, and just shout out to Big Fish.
Yes.
As another great sort of comforting story. Yeah,
yes, and Mr. Wallace himself will be at the Arts Center tomorrow night for the big State of the Arts program
segue.
That's going on.
Yeah,
yes.
That's,
so he's going to be reading from Big Fish.
Awesome.
I think that program starts at like 5:30 at the Arts Center.
I've got the information right here.
Yeah.
Hang on. If you love the arts in your community, head to the Carborough Arts Center Thursday, October 5th, starting at 5:30 for a forum on the state of the arts in Orange County, featuring a reception and presentations by the NC Arts Council, UNC's Arts Everywhere Project, Orange County's Arts Commission, and local artists, including Daniel Wallace, and more.
And more.
Yeah.
Yes, well done. And
yeah.
I will also say that his most recent book, Extraordinary Adventures, is a delightful read. It's the story of this kind of sad sack guy who gets one of these, the calls that we always get, like, you've just qualified for a weekend in the Ozarks, you know. This is, you've got a week to respond, and you have to bring a friend. And he takes it seriously, and he goes out to find a companion to go on this vacation that he's won.
I still have to read this one.
I just loved it.
Yeah.
I thought that it was just delightful and quirky, and that would be, I would say, another just fun, comforting read. No, there's no serial killers in it. There's no explosions or any of that. It's a wonderful book.
Okay.
So I'm going to go British again.
Gotcha.
I'm just there. The British are very comforting for some reason.
You might be the first person who has ever uttered those five words in a row.
British novels are. Many
okay,
of them.
British so, novels right. are, yeah.
This is by a female author, Helen Simonson, and it's called Mr. Pettigrew's Last Stand. This book came out, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago. This was a debut novel as well. She's done one or two follow-ups to it. not sequels, but she's had more novels. But the story of it is, it's set in the English countryside in a very small village, and the Major Pettigrew of the title is a retired major, and he's living this quiet life. He's a widower, and he strikes up a friendship with Mrs. Ali, who is the Pakistani shopkeeper in town. And so they strike up this friendship. They're brought together because they're both widowers, and they both love reading. But their friendship and budding relationship throws the village just in a twitter, because nice. It's a retired general and a Pakistani woman, and oh my gosh,
right?
You know, the scuttlebutt and the all of that. But it's a wonderful read about finding somebody late in life and village life and overcoming assumptions and all of that. It's a wonderful book. Major Pettigrew's Last Stand.
Awesome. I'm going to go nonfiction for this one. I think I've mentioned this one recently because I just read it, and it really struck me. It's a book from about 6 years ago. We're talking about troubling, uncomfortable, dark times, and we often have a tendency on sort of all sides of the political spectrum to, for whatever reason, assume that these are the worst times. Like, oh, it's never been worse, or we've never had more bad stuff, or we've never been more violent, or we've never been more at odds or polarized or anything else. And the reality, if you like pull the camera back and take the long view, is exactly the opposite. Steven Pinker wrote a book called The Better Angels of Our Nature 6 years ago. It's a very long, my pen just went flying all over the place. It's a very, very long book, but it's like 700 pages long. So there have been books twice that long. But it's all about the decline of violence and cruelty and suffering and pain over the course of human history, starting from the very, very beginning and moving forward. Disease has gone down, sort of cruel physical punishments have gone down, torture's gone down, violence has gone down, murder's gone down over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years and thousands of years. So that if you take the long view of human history, we really actually have been progressing and getting better. And if you zoom in, you'll see little ups and downs there, but zoom out and you'll see this history of human progress. And it's a really convincing book, and he's got the numbers to back it up.
I'm not convinced. These are the worst times ever. I'm just saying.
It's not true. It's not true.
I guess I'll just have to read the book.
Yes.
And find out.
Yes, you will.
So if you, like me, don't believe all of that, and
uh-huh.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I just have one more book.
Go for it.
That I want to recommend that I think we've talked about before. But when you were talking about a grumpy old man who has circumstances that melt his heart.
Right.
I thought of The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey by Gabrielle Zevin. Is a wonderful book about A.J. Fickrey is a grumpy old bookseller, and he just wants to be left alone in his bookstore.
Yes.
And this and that.
Oh, you have mentioned this one.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one day somebody leaves an unexpected package at his door. A baby. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the book is about how he deals with this unexpected turn of events, and his heart melts, and there are circumstances.
You are never going to let me live
I'm
this
never
one
gonna
down,
let you
are you? It's fine.
Go.
It's fine.
And it is a wonderful, comforting book to enjoy. Awesome. There you have it. Comforting reads
for
dark times.
Susan Brown, thank you so much.